Father, speak through me, bless through me, and transform through me. Now, this morning, I am speaking to you on the subject, the eagle Christian. The eagle Christian, harnessing the transformative power of prayer. Next Sunday, I will talk to you on the 12 laws of prayer. Okay? Because next Sunday will mark the last week of our 30 days of prayer. And I'll be talking to you on the 10 laws of prayer, the 12 laws of prayer. It will help you situate your prayers very, very well. But today, allow me to talk about the eagle Christian, harnessing the power, harnessing the transformative power of prayer. Now, the eagle is a symbol of power, presence, prominence, perseverance, perspective, poise, pride, and preeminence. Do you know that there are several birds mentioned in the Bible, but the eagle is among the two top birds? Apart from the dove, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, the eagle is the next bird that is mentioned the most. Even though the dove is mentioned more, the eagle is mentioned in the most amazing ways. The eagle is mentioned from a perspective that demonstrates an animal that is powerful, an animal that has presence, an animal that has prominence, an animal that is perseverant, that has perseverance, an animal that has perspective than any other bird. His poise is mentioned with pride and preeminence. Now, a lot of animals are mentioned in the Bible. The eagle is among the 10 top animals mentioned in the Bible. The eagle comes after the sheep, which was used a lot for sacrifice, and comes after the lion, which was very available during those days. Several encounters of lion between David and lions, and between Samson and lions. It's all right to have these animals ahead of the eagle, but anytime the eagle is mentioned among the animals in the Bible, there's a certain reverence, a certain respect, and it carries a lot of message. Now, the Bible tells us that observe the ant, you sluggard, and be wise. The Bible is not silent on how the animals mentioned in the Bible can teach us very important lessons. But the Bible says nature teaches us. The Bible says that by the fact that there is a sun and the moon, it teaches us about the presence of God. So every nature communicates divine truth to us. My mission this morning is to try to show you, communicate divine truth using the eagle as our case study. Are you ready? The eagle is so prominent, shows a lot of elegance, that a lot of countries have eagles in their flags and their coat of arms. Ghana, for instance, we have eagle in our coat of arms. Nigeria has eagle in their coat of arms. In fact, Nigeria's national team is called the Super Eagles. It's only the black stars that fly higher than the Super Eagles. The Black Stars is the national team of Ghana. Okay. The United States, the most powerful nation in the world, has the eagle in its coat of arms. Mexico, Germany, Poland, Albania, Austria, Egypt, Russia, Romania, Serbia, Iraq, Zambia, Montenegro, Moldova, Kazakhstan. Is it Kazakhstan, Zimbabwe, Philippines, Italy, Indonesia, Algeria, Panama, South Sudan, Jordan, Syria, Yemen, Uganda, Iceland, Spain? All these nations have eagles in their coat of arms. Whilst flags may represent the spirit of a nation, the coat of arms represents the soul of the nation. The flags of nations do not appear on the most important documents of the nation, but the coat of arms does. And in most coat of arms, you see the eagle. It is a communication to us how important a symbol the eagle has become. This morning, my mission is to try to get you to become like the eagle, to become as important as the eagle in the coat of arms of history, to become as important as the eagle in the coat of arms of the Christian faith, to become as important as the eagle in the coat of arms of your family, in the coat of arms of your marriage, in the coat of arms of your company, in the coat of arms of your profession. You can be very significant and you can be very powerful through prayer. I am a product of prayer, and I've shared several times my testimonies. And today I'll be sharing the three times I waited upon the Lord for long hours that transformed my life. That transformed my life. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 30, from the verses 18 and 19, the Bible says, there are three things that are too amazing for me. Four that I do not understand. The way of the eagle in the sky. The way of a snake on a rock. The way of a ship on the high seas. And the way of a man with a young woman. You know, the fourth one. See, Can I read it again? Can you follow me? There are three things that are too amazing for me. Four that I do not understand. The fourth one cannot be understood. You can't understand the fourth one. The way of a man with a young woman. Oh, yes. I've been married to mommy for 31 years this December. And so a woman who was not given birth to by my mother or by my father has now become more important to me than my sisters. And I become more important to her than her brothers. Can you imagine? The way of a man with a woman cannot be understood. If you understand your wife, you will go crazy. Now, it was Eve. I saw a comedian talking about how God even does not argue with women. Eve was the first to eat the fruit in the Garden of Eden. But God didn't question her. When she ate it, God said, I don't want argument. until Adam ate it, and God said, okay, now I can talk to this man. Do you understand? Now, evangelist Stephen was stoned to death, isn't it? But when an adulterous woman was about to be stoned to death, Jesus himself picked a stone and said, if anyone has not sinned, cast the first stone. I have a stone here. Because God knew that if a man was stoned and died and came to heaven, he would not question God. But if a woman was stoned and died and came to heaven, he would question God. So the way of a man with a woman, I cannot understand. I've been married to mommy for 31 years. I still don't understand her. And I understand that I understand that I don't understand her. Okay, so my message is not about men and women. My message is about the first one. There are three things that are too amazing. Too amazing. For that I do not understand. Number one, the way of the eagle in the sky. Now, immediately you hear a statement like that in the Bible, what must come to your mind is that what keeps the eagle in the sky? The wings of the eagle. So over here, the writer's focus was on the wings of the eagle. Because without the wings of the eagle cannot remain in the sky. What is amazing about the eagle is the power of the wings of the eagle. And what the eagle can do with its wings. When the eagle stretches its wings, it covers a span of between 6 to 9 feet. Very powerful. Very powerful wings of the eagle. And as a result of the wings of the eagle can do amazing things in the skies. Can I show you those amazing things? Number one, the eagle, the first is summit. The eagle can fly as high as 10,000 feet above sea level. That is how powerful the wings of the eagle. The wings of the eagle can carry the weight of the eagle to about 10,000 feet. Wow. That is why the ways of this of the eagle in the sky is amazing. 10,000 feet. Number two is speed. The eagle can fly at the speed of 320 kilometers per hour. Wow. I think from here to Kumasi is around the same. It's about 200 and something. How many kilometers from here to Kumasi? Can someone check for me? 265. And to Sunyani? 315. So, and driving the best cars from here to Sunyani can take you about 5 to 6 hours. But the eagle can get to Sunyani in 1 hour. That is how powerful, that's how amazing the eagle is in the sky. And that is how powerful the wings of the eagle is. Oh, to become like the eagle, you need the wings of the eagle. What separates the eagle from other birds is what the eagle is able to do with its wings. And the strength of the eagle. The eagle can carry weight as heavy as 3.6 kilograms. It's so powerful. In addition to the weight of the eagle can weigh up to 9 kilograms. So we are talking about almost 13 kilograms. And yet, the wings of the eagle can carry that weight. That way, the eagle can take weight up to 3.6 kilos and include it to his own body weight and can carry it to 10,000 feet. What a powerful animal. But don't forget, it's in the wings of the eagle. The stamina of the eagle. The eagle can fly non-stop for 225 miles. How many kilometers would that be? Non-stop. The eagle can just go non-stop. In other words, the eagle can fly and sustain its flight from here to almost Sunyani and beyond without settling down. Your car sometimes from your house to Sakumano Junction will leave you in the middle of the road. But the eagle has such power, has such stamina, and the eagle can go. I want to be like an eagle. In my Christian walk with Christ, I want to be like an eagle. But to become an eagle, I need to be able to have the wings of the eagle. The stability of the eagle. The eagle is so stable because of its body weight that the eagle can actually have been seen flying into hurricanes or across or beside hurricanes. The eagle can fly through storms. Oh, what a stability. I want to be stable in my faith with the Lord. I want to be a stable Christian. I don't want to have the rise and fall story of Titi Ofe. I want to have the rise and rise story of Titi Ofe. I want to be able to have a very sustained prayer life, be stable in my work of evangelism, be stable in my preaching, be stable in loving you as Jesus commands, be stable in loving the Lord. I want to find stability. I want to have stable prayer life. I want to be able to pray every morning. I want to be able to communicate with God every day. I want to be able to read the Bible every day. But I need the wings of the eagle to do that. I need the wings of the eagle to do that. Sight. Do you know the eagle can see 3.2 kilometers away? You know, the human eyes are so limited. I'm standing here and I can't see some faces at the back. What it means is that if the eagle were to be our pastor and our church spans from the junction to the next junction, from Kutubabi junction to the other junction is called what? No, from here to here. If here is Kutubabi, here is what? Ricardo, you are the assemblyman. But you see, the eagle will be able to stand there and see the congregation as that far. Oh, I want God to open my eyes like that. You see, when the eagle is in the skies and the eagle is looking, the eagle can even spot fish in the sea from far and come down. I want those eyes. I want the eyes of my understanding to be enlightened. I want to be able to see beyond. I want to have an expanded horizon. I want to dream big. I want to have a 10,000 seater auditorium. I want to see 10,000 people attending services every Sunday. For me to see that, I need to have the eyes of the eagle. Oh. And the eagle sees better in the skies. That is why the eagle in the sky is amazing. The eagle is so sensitive that the eagle can sense the movement of air currents. And the eagle will wait whilst other birds are flapping, catching the small air to flap. The eagle will wait for the next big air and jump into it. So eagles don't flap. They soar with their wings. Oh, I don't want to scratch like a turkey or flap like a vulture. I want to soar like the eagle. Are you here with me? How many of you want to soar like the eagle? Now, let me show you how that can happen. So all these amazing things about the eagle is traceable to the wings of the eagle. To become like the eagle, you need to be able to develop the wings of the eagle. Can I show you how you can develop the wings of the eagle? You have to wait upon the Lord. Isaiah 43, verse 31, from the King James Version of the Bible. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, look at this, and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What an amazing scripture. But they that shall wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like the eagle. There's a story about the eagle. People believe it's a myth. But the Bible somewhere, somehow confirms that story from this scripture. By observation, the writer of this scripture says that if you wait upon the Lord, you shall renew your strength. You shall mount up on wings like the eagle. You shall mount up on wings like the eagle. And you shall renew your strength. It is believed that when the eagle is around 40 years, it begins to become weak. The feathers become old. So the eagle will look for the highest mountain and will go and perch itself on those highest mountains and spend days. People believe that about 40 days, the eagle will go through a very painful process of renewing its strength. The eagle will hit its beaks on rocks to remove the weak ones. Blood will be coming up. The eagle will be removing all the old feathers. Painfully, will be going through a transformation. After 40 days, the eagle is reborn. With new strength, new power, new presence, and the eagle will take off again as if it had just been born. It is believed that the eagles that go through those processes can elongate their lives by 30 more years and live for 70 years. Oh, and the Bible says that anytime you wait upon God, you go through a similar process. You go through a similar process of renewing your strength. So what is waiting upon the Lord? What is waiting upon the Lord? Now, waiting upon the Lord is a form of prayer. But this time, it takes you away from people. Or if it doesn't take you away from people, it is an unusual one. You spend days fasting and praying. You spend days before the Lord. Like our 30-day fast that we are praying. By the time we finish our 30 days of prayer, we shall mount up with wings like the eagle. Those who are doing it faithfully. And I want to share with you three times that I mounted up on wings like the eagle. Three times that I waited upon the Lord and mounted up on wings like the eagle. Three times that these things happened to me. Number one, when I was a young man, around the age of 21, it was very fashionable at the time to go to Nigeria to understudy one of the greatest Pentecostal pastors that ever walked on the surface of the earth, the late Archbishop Benson Idahosa. He had a Bible school in Benin City in Nigeria. And at the age of 21, I wanted to go to that Bible school. And I had to look for $600 to be able to go. And I didn't have it. So I went to see a politician. A politician who had a relationship with the late Archbishop. And he said, don't worry, I will talk to the late Archbishop. So give me 1 week. That 1 week, I decided to wait upon the Lord. I left home and went into a closet, a prayer place, far away from home. Guess what? I did 10 hours a day of prayer. 10 hours a day of prayer for 7 days. 70 hours of prayer just for $600 scholarship. And prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted 10 hours a day. Guess what? When I got to the man, he said to me, no, young man, you are too young to travel to Nigeria and go to Benin City. The Archbishop has a branch of his Bible school in Ghana, a place called Latebi Okoshi. I want you to go there. I was very disappointed. 70 hours of prayer, and I couldn't get $600. So God didn't answer my prayer. God did, but he answered it the way he wanted to answer it. God did. Guess what? It was at that Bible school that I met Mommy. And for 31 years of this marriage, she has become my wings. For 31 years of this marriage, sometimes I look at the steps I took, how I came to this place as a squatter to live in an uncompleted building, no water, no electricity, 23 years ago. If I had not married to this woman, which woman would have allowed me to bring her to this place? But the 70 days of waiting upon the Lord, the 70 hours of prayer in 7 days gave me this woman for a wife. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up on wings like the eagle. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. The second time I had an encounter when I waited upon the Lord and spent some time, our church was a small church here. And another pastor, Richard, had gotten married to my neighbor. And the woman was a very rich woman. And they had started a church. And they were doing construction in their house. And almost every member of the church at the time was a construction worker. And they were hired by the woman to work in their house for them. And the woman gave them an ultimatum. If you don't come to our church, you can't work here. So that Sunday, I went to church. And almost everybody in the church had gone to that church. And the church, we were neighbors. They bought very loud speakers and turned the speakers towards our church. We were then in a wooden structure. Their sound was so loud. At the time I was preaching, they were singing. And my church members were sitting down dancing. In other words, they were not hearing me. They were hearing the other pastor. I came back home very frustrated. The church had been harmed by a noisy neighboring church. They are taking my members. I thought my labor had been in vain. I was lying down there. The Lord said, this is not the solution. You can't lie here in pain. You can't lie here in agony. You can't lie here weeping. Come before me. Come before me. So immediately I told mommy, can I leave home? I'm going on a mountaintop to pray. So I went to a mountain in Kumasi. Spent a time there. It was there that Jesus appeared to me and spoke to me and gave me specific instructions. They that wait upon the Lord. They that are able to spend time in the presence of God. They that are able to take time and spend time in the presence of God. Oh. They that are able to spend time in the presence of God. The third time I had an experience waiting upon the Lord was when I went to a place, Girls Guide, at Achimota Forest, the place they're called Girls Guide. I wasn't satisfied with the growth of the church, going through a lot of financial crisis, and nothing was happening. Then I went before God. When I got there in the evening, so I said, from tomorrow, I'll be praying from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. I wanted to spend 12 hours before God. And guess what? I started prayer from 5 a.m. Started communing with God. Started talking to God. Started asking Him to help me, to help the church grow. Started asking Him to anoint me. Started asking me to give me message. Around 4:30 p.m., I have done 11 and a half hours of prayer. And I was concluding my prayer. Then the Lord said to me, can you come to the mountaintop with me? I said, Lord, after 11 and a half hours of prayer, I am still in the valley. He said, know something? I gave Moses the pattern of the tabernacle on the mountaintop. Can you do 12 more hours of prayer? And I will show you the pattern of your ministry and of your calling. I prayed for another 12 hours. During that period of 12 hours of prayer, God gave me the 14th truth worth discovering. I came back to church. I said, the next 14 Sundays, I am teaching on the 14th truth worth discovering. That first Sunday, I started that message, and Anwundu came to church. He was living opposite the church and was looking for a church. He did not intend to come to our church. Some way, somehow, he decided to come. He heard me preach. And he said, wow, I haven't heard a pastor preach like that before. I guess it was an anointing behind it. The next Sunday, he came back with others. Elder Ita and Pastor Obina were driving past to go to action. Then they saw our wooden structure church. And they stopped the next Sunday. So we are late. Let's go here. And they had me preach the second Sunday on the second truth worth discovering. They had and came back and said, came to me and said, this message is amazing. This message is amazing. The following Sunday, they came with their friends. And they started coming in. By the time I hit the 14th Sunday, our small wooden structure church was full. Our small wooden strata church was full. God is real. His son Jesus is real. But the reality of God is experienced in your prayer. The reality of God is experienced in your prayer. If you want to see God, spend more time in prayer with Him. these messages I started preaching, people started hearing me and started asking me, why are you not on radio? Why are you not on TV? Soon, Elder Wundu, Elder, and a few group of people in the church, Pastor Obinna and the rest, came together and said, we have to put you on TV. We have to put you on radio. People made contribution. I was on City FM. I was on TV 3. Then suddenly people said, who is this City of Fair? 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 Today, look at what I have become. Prayer does not just change things. Prayer changes you. You don't want a change of your situation. You don't want a change of your story. You want a change of you. When you are changed, you can change everything around you. You can change everything around you. And prayer changes you from inside out. The changes that take place inside are more efficient, more powerful, more effective than the change that takes place on the outside. You've asked me, how do I get change in the inside? I don't know. I prayed. God changed me from the inside. Everything I have done, everything I have achieved. Imagine 23 years ago, I was a squatter here. I had no toilet in my house. I had no water in my house. I had no electricity in my house. I could not put on food on table for my wife. And then Pastor Tetio Fair was our only child. I changed his school several times because we could not afford to pay the school fees. And then suddenly something changed in me. And the thing that changed in the inside of me started changing things around me. And whatever changed in the inside of me was me spending time in the Lord's presence. Just before I go back to look at the whole eagle thing again, I want to show you how to wait upon the Lord. How to wait upon the Lord? How can you wait upon the Lord? You may be asking, man of God, okay, I have heard enough. I want to wait upon the Lord. How do I wait upon the Lord? How do I have that change that occurred in the inside of you? How do I wait upon the Lord? Here are a few suggestions on how to wait upon the Lord. Number one, set a day or days aside for prayer. Esther chapter 4, verse 16. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. If I perish, I perish. So there was a threat against the Jews by a very powerful man in the kingdom of Persia. His name was Haman. He was almost second in command. The king depended on him for advice. King Xerxes' kingdom was from India to Ethiopia. He had 120 provinces. America has 55 states. He had 120 states. His country was powerful. And the second in command was Haman. And I decided to kill all the Jews had that plan. Esther, who was a Jew, had become a queen. Now, Esther heard this news and decided to set days aside to fast and to pray. As a result of Esther setting days aside to fast and pray, God turned the tables around. And the man that planned evil was the one who was killed. May God turn the tables around for you. As you set days aside to pray, may God turn tables around for you. Prayer is the key. Jesus started his ministry by setting aside 40 days of prayer and fasting. The man walked on water because he started with 40 days of prayer and fasting. The man raised the dead because he started with 40 days of fasting. He could feed 5,000 people beating every economist's imagination with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He was able to feed 5,000 men. The women were not counted. During those days, women and children were not counted. But 5,000 men, imagine 2,500 of them were married. That would be additional 2,500. Imagine all of them had 2 children. Imagine how many people were fed. And more were left. The first miracle of Jesus, he turned water into wine. Because he spent 40 days, 40 nights fasting and praying. A man of prayer, nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible for a man of prayer. Nothing is impossible for a man of prayer. I was born into a poor family, raised as a poor boy. I went to class one, started class one at the age of 8. At the age of 8, I left secondary school in form 4. But today, God has honored me. There is no man of prayer that can be dishonored. Faith makes all things possible. If you have faith, you can say to this mountain, move, and it shall move. And prayer is the expression of your faith. Prayer is acknowledging to God that I cannot take care of myself. Life is too complex for me, and I want to depend on you. Number 2, the second way to wait upon the Lord is to go to a solitary place. Sometimes you need time alone. You need to spend some time alone. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Sometimes joining the whole church to pray is important. But what is important is also spending time with God alone. Oh, I love to spend time with mommy and the children and my daughter-in-law. We spend time together, we chat, and I enjoy it. But what I enjoy most is to be with mommy alone. We always have a lot to catch up with. We always have things to plan. We always have decisions to make. We always have jokes to crack. We always need time for our intimate moments. So it is all right to be amongst us. It is all right to pray with us. But it's most important to sometimes be alone with God. Take some 3 days of your busy schedule. Jesus was the busiest man in his days. Crowds of people followed him. Everywhere he went, people followed him. He raised the dead. He healed the lepers. The cripples walked at the sound of his voice. Yet, he made time to be alone to pray. He made time to be alone to pray. Anytime you say you are too busy to pray, too busy to serve God, do you know what you are doing? When you are busy, you take out the less important things. When I am busy, the things that are not important, I take them out. But among the things I take out, it's not God. It's not God. You are too busy that God is not out of the equation. When was the last time you fasted? When was the last time you were alone with God? When was the last time you prayed for an hour? When was the last time you prayed for 2 hours? When was the last time you prayed for 3 hours? When was the last time you felt that you have touched the throne of God? When was the last time? When was the last time you felt that you have touched the throne of God? Number 2, declare a fast. Declare a fast. Daniel 10:2-3. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food. No meat or wine touched my lips. And I used no lotions at all until 3 weeks were over. Oh, I remember when I left Bible school, trying to find my rhythm in life, went on a retreat with some friends in a house. One of my friends got his senior brother to give us a house to go and wait upon the Lord. When we got there, I don't know what the senior brother had, but when we got there, there were food in the fridge. Oh, assorted food. But we were going to fast. by all manner of food, and no poor people like Gobe. Now it's actually become a rich people's food. But when I was growing up, Gobe was for the poor man. And the man knew some poor pastors were coming around. So he had Gobe prepared and gari and all. When my friends saw the food, they forgot about the fasting. I said, I didn't come here to eat. I came here to fast and pray. And we spent time in the Lord's presence, fasting and praying. And fasting answers prayer. It opens your spirit to God. It allows you to have deeper connection with God. How many of you know that the majority of sickness and diseases we are dealing with comes from the food that we eat? And how many of you know that fasting is very healthy for your body? How many of you know that if you live even a fasted life, now, people that are not even Christians are advocating for fasted life. There are food portions that are called fasted life. And so that you can be on a fasted life, eating certain choice food, certain selected food, and leaving your choice food out, and it builds your body and restores health to your body. The same way fasting can do for you physically, it can do for you spiritually. Pray for longer hours. Jesus still gives us examples. Luke 6 verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. So Jesus did an all night prayer, just praying. Where people will tell you that God knows what is your heart before you pray. So why do you pray long? Well, if you don't have a lot of problems, don't worry. Just pray a little. If I start praying, I can't stop. Because then I remember Elder Teresa. Then I remember Baba. And then I remember Stella. Then I remember Elder White. I remember Auntie Becky. Then I remember Pastor Augusta. I remember Deacon Ado. I remember Deacon Bonnie. I remember Clarissa. And then I remember Mrs. Ita, and then I remember Elder Ita, I remember Pastor Deborah, I remember Pastor Prince, I remember Pastor Felix, I remember Pastor mention your name now. I remember my pastor here, I remember Pastor Obina, I remember, and then as I'm remembering people, it takes a long time, so I keep praying. If you pray for five minutes and you are finished, it means that the prayer was centered on you. When I even remember Ghana alone, just the country, just praying for this country alone, 3 hours is not enough. 3 hours is not enough. I remember growing up as a young boy, on several occasions I got ill and my parents didn't have money to take me to the hospital. I remember my mother waking up and crying, seeing me virtually dying, and there was no money to go to hospital. I remember on several occasions we have to go and borrow money or go and credit drugs across the street. During those days, we have drugs like chloroquine, very bitter, and my mother would go and try and get chloroquine, borrow it, credit it, and bring it. And I didn't like bitter things. I wanted sweet things. Who likes bitter things? And they'll put a chloroquine in my mouth and I'll vomit and spoil the thing that was credited. You know, so when I grew up, one of the things that came to my mind anytime I prayed, I always felt there could be a mother in some room crying like that with a baby dying in her hands. And I would spend time begin to pray for sick people. And then I will remember how sometimes my mother had to struggle to put food on the table for us. How my mother would in the morning leave house and go around the community, try to find money. And how we ate late in the morning, sometimes around 10 a.m. my father was dead. And sometimes around 10 a.m. before my mother could raise money for her food. Then I remember a poor mother like that. And I'll pray for that poor mother. And then I'll remember things. I remember how my father died painfully, knocked down by a car, and we were left as orphans in Adabraka with no one there for us. And I remember that they might be orphaned somewhere. They may be a widow somewhere. I heard the way my mother cried when my father died. My mother's main cry was that I've spent all my life with you. We have been traveling around this country. And you have come to leave me in Accra. You've come to leave me in Accra where I have no relatives. Where do I turn? I could hear the voice of my mother again. And I feel there's a widow crying somewhere, and I'll spend time praying for that widow. If you think praying too long is a waste of time, it's because you care less about the world. Because you care less about the world, you care less about people, you care less about the world, you care less about people. Number five, study the Bible for longer periods. During the time of waiting upon the Lord, take time and read the Bible. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 25. But I devoted myself to knowledge and study. I was determined to find wisdom and the answers to my questions, and to learn how wicked and foolishness stupidity is. Oh, I remember visiting the village with my father when he was alive, and I had nothing to do. We stayed for 2 weeks in the village, and I virtually had nothing to do in the village, and I read the entire New Testament in 2 weeks, and that changed my life. The entrance of his word giveth light and giveth understanding to the simple. You cannot say you will not read the document that spells out the regulations, the promises of your faith. The foundation of your faith is God's word. The foundation of your faith is God's word. I grew up in an Islamic community, and every Muslim child in the morning, on weekends, will have to go to a school to learn how to read the Quran. And the growth of Islam and commitment of Muslims is based on the fact that they understand the Quran. You have to do the same. You have to commit yourself to study the word. It's the reason why I spend Sundays teaching the word of God. This is the foundation of your faith. You cannot even pray effectively without studying God's word. Prayer is quoting God's word back to him, telling God about his word. And it's important. Number six, listening to Christ-centered preaching. Listening to Christ-centered preaching. Romans 10 verse 17. So faith comes by hearing, and that is hearing the good news about Jesus. Christ-centered preaching. Like I'm preaching right now. I'm presenting to you God's word. I'm urging you to deepen your relationship with Christ. I'm inviting you to commit yourself deeper and deeper in prayer with the Lord. I'm calling upon you to add God to the basket full of busy things. God should be your priority. Jesus should be your priority. Your Christian life is the most important life. It's the most important life. And that should not be relegated to the background. Now let me conclude. Let's go to the second drawing that has. Now you can see that this time the eagle is not in the center. It's you. In a prayer posture in the center. This is how you become like the eagle. Soaring above the rest, summit. Breaking gravity. The eagle's wings allow the eagle to break the forces of gravity. Life is a journey to the mountaintop. Staying in the valley will make you insignificant. How do you get to the mountaintop? Prayer moves you from the valley to the mountaintop, from obscurity to prominence. Speed, running ahead of others. Life is not a competition, but it does not mean you should be last. Prayer keeps you running. Prayer keeps you running. I am not competing with you, but it doesn't mean I should be behind you. Oh, it doesn't mean I should be behind you. Do you understand me? Prayer keeps you running. Prayer keeps you running. Prayer keeps you running. What God has done for me within the last 15 years living here has been amazing. The speed has been amazing. Strength, overcoming challenges, not collapsing under problems. Prayer provides strength. in the midst of problems. What keeps you going? What keeps you going is to be able to depend on God and pray. Prayer kept me and mommy in the midst of our challenges. We kept praying. We kept trusting. We kept praying. We kept trusting. We kept praying. We kept trusting. And we stood firm. The Bible says that if we falter in times of trouble, then where is your strength? Problems will test your strength in God. The strength of your faith in Christ. Stamina, the untiring nature of the eagle, breaking limits. Prayer is like a battery charger. It keeps you functioning. It keeps you functioning. When you get home this tonight, do you know what you're going to do? You are going to charge your phone batteries. Because the next day, you must use the phone. Prayer is a charger. It charges you. It gives you stamina. It keeps you going. Stability. Surviving the turbulence, finding equilibrium. Prayer is like an anchor. It keeps you standing. When we had no money, we had nobody. Our congregation members were about 20. All of them construction workers. Not engineers, not architects, but laborers and masons. What kept the equilibrium was prayer, waiting upon the Lord. Sight. Breaking boundaries. Prayer opens your eyes to see yonder. Call on me and I will show you great and mighty things. That's what God does. Then understanding the times. Prayer makes you wise and discerning. When you pray, God communicates to you. He gives you advanced knowledge. He gives you wisdom. God gives you wisdom. When you talk to God, He touches your reasoning and thinking faculties. When I was growing up, everybody said I was a fool. I knew I was a fool. Everybody said I was a fool. Nobody in my family, except my mother. My mother never said I was a fool. She sympathized with my foolishness. But everybody apart from my mother said I was a fool. Even my junior siblings thought I was a fool. Today, people pay to listen to me. I make hundreds of decisions every week. I'm meeting people, I'm counseling people, I'm preaching. Not from now to the end of the year, I'm preaching in several churches. And people will come. Oh, Titi Ofe is coming. And people will come to the church to hear Titi Ofe speak. What happened? The entrance of his word give a light and give it understanding to the simple. You cannot be a good Christian without having an impact on your life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me.